I love the gospel text for this morning. It is delightfully physical and a little bit gross. Jesus heals the deaf man by sticking his fingers in his ears and loosens his tongue by spitting and touching it. At first glance, this seems like a bit of an odd miracle. Higher critical scholars, those who approach the scriptures with an a priori assumption that miracles do not happen, say exactly this. They argue that this miracle account does not belong in the New Testament. They postulate instead that it is a story about magic man Jesus, a folk healer that the church accidentally put in the Gospel of Mark. In all their scholarly musings, they do not display their erudition, but show their ignorance. They place themselves alongside the Judaizers in Corinth, whom Paul wrote of. Their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the scriptures, that veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Without faith, the scriptures are an obscure book. But for us, the scriptures are open. And with a second look at this miracle in the Gospel of Mark, we will see not only that it is not odd at all, but it shows us a picture that is consistent with the entire testimony of the scriptures. In the name of Jesus, amen. We read that Jesus performs this miracle of healing. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." He sighed is an unfortunate translation. The word is groan. It's the same word used by St. Paul in his epistle to the Romans when he says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the redemption of our bodies." Women in labor don't sigh, they groan. When we suffer the pangs of death, we don't sigh, we groan. It is a deep, physical reaction from the pain of our innermost being. Our Lord Jesus Christ sees this deaf and mute man, and he groans. This is exactly who we know our Lord to be. God created man in his image. He created man to be in a relationship with himself. He created man for life. Yet man rebelled against God and separated himself from life. In our self-chosen exile from God, who is life, we have become subject to death. We who were created in the image of God chose instead uncreation. But it is not the will of God that we should go from futile birth in a deathward drift for our entire lives. The eternal Son of God saw his Father's creation falling apart, torn apart by death. So he did what was fitting for him. Through whom and by whom all things were created. The Son, moved by love for his Father and love for his Father's creation, intervened. The Lord Christ, who from the beginning was intimately involved in creation, entered it so that he could recreate it. Life himself took the image of man so that he could restore the image of life in man. In our pericope this morning, Christ is faced with an image of death. In the deaf and mute man, he sees uncreation. And he groans. He looks to heaven towards the Father whom he loves, and with a word of power, the Lord who spoke the universe into existence, says, "Ephphatha, be opened." He recreates for the man ears that hear and a tongue that speaks. These miracles are unique to the New Testament. No prophet ever gave a man his hearing back or gave him the ability to speak. Only Jesus gives people ears to hear and believe and a mouth to confess. When Jesus heals, it hurts him. When he forgives, he takes the penalty on himself. His miracles do not come without a cost. After his first miracles, and the Gospel of Matthew records, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Why doesn't he just speak a new world into existence? It would cost him nothing. Why does he enter creation to take death upon himself? Why does he groan with us and for us? I don't know if I can answer these questions definitively. What I do know is what the scriptures say, that it was fitting for him. The Apostle John writes, "God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." It was fitting for God to act in this way because God is love. Christ did not choose the easy path, but the costly. He came to breathe our poisoned air and drink the cup of our despair. He chose to groan for us on the cross and spill his blood for us there. He decided to die so that we may live. Here in today's gospel lesson, the incarnate Christ groans as he restores creation, and he heals not just with a word of power, but with touch and spit. Why do we find this so strange? God always uses means to accomplish his will. He judged the earth with a flood. He healed his people with a bronze serpent. And he spoke through the prophets. And the physicality of this miracle is not unique to the New Testament. Christ healed lepers with touch. He walked on water with human feet and cast out demons with a human voice. And in the beginning, God created the world through his Son. And today he forgives sins and recreates through the death of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection of his body. And he applies this recreative miracle to us through water. Ancient baptismal liturgies across Syria, North Africa, and Italy included the pastor spitting on his hand and touching the baptized ears and mouth, saying, "Ephphatha, be opened." For in baptism, the Holy Spirit descends and gives you ears of faith and gives you a tongue that confesses Jesus Christ is Lord. At that moment, you are recreated in the image of Christ, in the image of life. Amen.